open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on. Turn it up.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And what a huge, exciting Monday this is going to be as we come at you live out of the Dog Bowl in Berea. How's everybody feeling all over Cleveland Browns Nation? Michael Regai in for the traveling Nathan Zagura today. My man Matt Wilhelm is here. And we want you to stay locked and loaded with us because, do we have a lot to get into in most energizing fashion as the Browns are getting set to wing their way down to Tampa, Florida for a practice week with the Tampa Bay Bucks. And that's why we feel it's so intriguing. It's going to be exciting. There's a lot attached to it because, quite frankly, there are many, many players on this football team that better use this week to head on the upward ascent, Matt Wilhelm, because these couple of 2-3 days on the practice field leading up to Friday night, I got to believe Hugh Jackson and his coaching staff and Sashi Brown, if I said copious notes are going to be taken.
Absolutely.
On these 90 that are still there. That wouldn't be too far off course.
No, it's not too far off course. And there's a couple things to lay out what this week's going to look like. And I know the Browns, you know, in Hugh Jackson's press conference kind of stated this, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers spent last week with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So they've done it 2 consecutive weeks with, either going to Jacksonville and coming back home now against the Cleveland Browns. But they've practiced. And I think it is truly a great litmus test because – when I played, we never went anywhere, and no one ever came to us. So it was kind of good against good, you know, and we were on some very good teams, but we didn't really know until you started to play those preseason games, and then actually the season started, are we a fast-starting team? Are we a slow-starting team? And you had to figure that out very quickly, and they will obviously travel today, as you said, you know, very shortly here in about an hour. They'll all start arriving at the airport, and then they'll have meetings and such tonight. Tomorrow they will have a padded practice against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're going to hit.
Yep. They will not. Maybe not to the ground.
They're
right?
Not going to take to the ground because you said they're going to do that on Friday night.
That's right.
And then Wednesday will be a shells practice, which is basically not even shoulder pads, just the light pads on their shoulders as well as helmets on Wednesday. And they're also going to practice against the Buccaneers on Wednesday. And I expect kind of what we saw at the Orange and Brown scrimmage, a crisp, clean, non-contact type of practice where you can feature certain types of things, not so much the pass rush, you're not so much going to feature the run game because you're not going to get much out of it, but certain formations, passing, see how you can kind of go against these guys. And then Thursday, they'll of course be on, I think probably at staggered times at the Tampa Bay Buccaneer facility where the Bucs come in early. They'll do their walkthrough and then make way for the Cleveland Browns to come in and they'll do their walkthrough, get through their normal Thursday or pre-game day procedure out of the way before they go back in the hotel, and Friday they're lacing it up at 8 p.m.
There's a lot for us to get into, so this is our jump-off point today, and this is where you guys can get involved too as well. We know we like to make this interactive for you out of the Dog Bowl here at Cleveland Browns Daily. So on Twitter, at ESPN Cleveland, and at Michael Regai, and of course, if you still want to do it the old-fashioned way, we can handle that with you. 216-578-0850. Football, you know, man, I'm starting to get the excitement of it. You and I were both at the big Westlake High School, Westlake Football Demons Meet
yes.
the Team event. You're going to be coaching. How was your weekend, man?
Everything my weekend, well? Weekend was great.
You get a little rest in over the weekend?
I did get a little rest in, right. And my wife and I had to prep for the kids a lot like you, starting school today.
Oh, baby.
So I guess the freedom for all parents starts, but we're excited. My son's going into third grade, my daughter into first. And
take pictures of them every morning,
of course,
first day.
Yes,
then
took pictures
have
of them.
12 years.
Yes,
to say, yeah,
my wife
it.
Has a little chalkboard with first day of first grade, first day of third grade, and then of course the yearly picture of them running into school. And it's an exciting day. And to me, with school starting to now, it really gets business like. Not only for you and I, because you on the college level, me on essentially every level now, but it makes way and you have more time on your hands to do all the prep and to really dig into what's going to happen over the next 4 months at the high school, college, and professional level.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that to do. And guys, if you think it's just showing up on game day, Let me tell you, you know, preparing for football is hours each day as you try to stay ahead of everything and stay on top of all that's moving. So in this case, around the Browns and around the National right. Football League. I think I watched five different games, Maddie, and I might have taped them. I might have fast-forwarded through a few of them a little bit here and there. But, you know, there's so much going on in the preseason. And some of the things that coaches are doing and guys they're trying to put in a spotlight and trying to make them integral part of their operations, I think is so very intriguing. And that's what we're going to get in today, as I said, as we start this huge Monday of the work week here on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Again, Michael Regai in for Nathan Zagura today. Good to always have Matt Wilhelm at hand. Here's our Ohio Business Machine hot topics here of the day. And we want you, Matt and I just laid out a bit of it. So this week with the Tampa Bay Bucks, we're going to learn a lot from it. Give us some of your thoughts, ideals, what you're looking at, what you want to see. We'll make you Hugh Jackson today. How's that?
Sure, that'd be fine.
We'll make you guys Hugh Jackson, and you tell us what you're looking for this week. Now, Matt, we do have good health with this football team right now, right? Because Josh Gordon should get on the football field against the Tampa Bay Bucks Friday night. Corey Coleman should get on the football field. Andrew Hawkins, I think there's
Joe Thomas.
He's going to go. Joe Thomas is going to go. And on the defensive side, we believe we'll see Joe Hayden for the first time on Friday night. So, again, how would you – all of you guys are Hugh Jackson. So how would you look to approach this with these guys? Now, every one of them, with the exception of Corey Coleman, is a vet. Now, you did say last night, and we'll hear this later on, he said, I want to see Josh Gordon play because not from this intimate vantage point has Hugh Jackson, as we know, been associated with Josh Gordon.
Right.
It's always been as an opponent. So we're going to get into that. And also, Maddie, then, you know, on the other side of things, and I really want your expertise on this because I've been doing a lot of thinking over the weekend, and I've had, you know, I don't have a coach's clicker, but, man, I can use that remote back, you know, and I do a lot of that. I love doing that. This is an enormous week for Justin Gilbert and Barkevious Mingo.
Sure.
Enormous week for them because, let's be honest, guys, they do not have a roster spot solidified, right? Either one of them. And, Maddie, now, again, look, we're talking about, in Mingo's case, in his beginning his fourth season, the sixth overall pick in the draft, and Justin Gilbert beginning his third season, Matt,
right,
the eighth overall pick in the draft. I mean, now, you know, what are we talking about here of guys that in one going into his fourth year, another going into his third year, and they cannot lock up starting spots on this football team. Forget about being, you know, hey, guys in that high top 10, you're hoping that by year 4 or 5, they're all pro worthy, correct?
Right, and getting re-upped and getting by the re-upped team that drafted them.
And there's none of that going on here. So, again, if you're Hugh Jackson, you know, again, if in their two cases, if you're Ray Horton specifically, what do you need to see? And, Matt, are you even – how much conversation are you, as the head coach of this football team, having with the likes of Justin Gilbert and Barkevious Mingo?
You know, there may be some dialogue from head coach to player, but I wouldn't be surprised if that Louis Chofi, the defensive back coach, you know, and Coach Slowick, the outside linebacker coach, as well as Ray Horton, are having the much more intricate and intimate – longer conversations about exactly where they stand, because if I were Justin Gilbert, if I were Barkevious Mingo, I would want to know. Because for Barkevious Mingo, he's been now gone. He started outside linebacker. He's now getting reps at inside linebacker. And as we've heard from Hugh Jackson, he always says, I'm going to move guys around and find what they do best and allow them the opportunity to succeed and to make this football team. And for Justin Gilbert, he's been getting now almost 7 months worth of first team reps with no Joe Hayden.
Yeah.
And yet you like what you see. And I know Nathan Zagura was, you know, Nathan was always high on the offseason he had, But he's just been very, very up and down thus far through training camp as well as the two preseason games. And the one thing that will cause every head coach and position coach and coordinator, for that matter, to get gray hairs is guys that are up one day and down the next.
That roller coaster.
They want,
right?
That consistency, yeah. You know, of a guy that if I can put him out there in this situation, I know what I'm going to get. Is he going to have a mental error? Is he going to miss a tackle? Is he going to drop an interception? Sure, it's going to happen. But on consecutive plays, or his effort come into play, those are the things you just, that's where the coach goes, I can't win with that. You know, and I think ultimately what it comes to is, how can both these players help us win? And at this point right now, and you pointed it out, based on where we drafted them, the only place they could potentially help us maybe win is to solidify a role on special teams. And that's very frustrating, and it's probably why we're on multiple regime changes, you know, at both coaching and management, because we haven't drafted well. And I also believe that a lot of this has changed in regards to player development. Hugh Jackson, as coaches, are grooming these young men and giving them opportunities and growing them as people and as football players and about the pro game. But all these guys, you could almost say that Barkevious Mingo and Justin Gilbert's career started when Hugh Jackson got the job, because I promise you, if you ask them that question in a one-on-one scenario, have you learned more in the last 6 months with Hugh Jackson than you've learned in the last 3 years in Mingo's case, or the last 2+ years in Justin Gilbert's case?
That's fascinating to me that you bring that up, and it ties right in to where I wanted to go with you next. As these are our Ohio Business Machine, our OBM Hot Topics of the Day, by the way. And Matt, before we go to break, as we kind of, you know, lay out the buffet table here and let everything marinate, what we're going to do on the show today, the coaching aspect of what not you now you look at the other side of things and the strength of performance so far from both Robert Griffin III and Terrell Pryor. Everybody right now raving about, yep, what they've been able to accomplish, both of them. Now, look, we know nobody gets to this level without having the pure physical abilities, capabilities to play this game. To have, you know, you step on the football field and your eyes are going to go to some people, Casey, yes, right? And I think every guy that gets a shot, they've had those eyes go to them as high school players, college players. They can play.
Yes.
But with that in mind, Matt, I'm starting to think how much of this early on training camp can we, the accolades, all of the put in proper positioning, can we lay at Hugh Jackson and maybe a little bit because of their, on the offensive side of the ball, Pep Hamilton, and in Terrell's case, Al Saunders, that it's maybe these guys, strength of performance, how much of it has to do with the approach in the coaching and just the absolute love they're getting showed by those coaches?
I would say, if I had to put a percentage on it, I would say 40% of what they're doing and how they're shining right now has everything to do with the tender love and care that they've got by Hugh Jackson and his staff. You know, it's we've heard it before. You know, Al says it, and Ray Horton says it, and Hugh has said it. I don't necessarily know or really care what they did prior to me getting this job. All I can do from this point forward is take, you know, each and every guy, understand how they played or what they did, and how I need to help them and groom them and groom them and groom them. Yeah. And then you truly evaluate what you see in OTAs, mini camps, training camp, and of course these preseason games. So I would say 40%, because Robert has it in him.
Sure.
We know it's in there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
we've seen it, yeah, both at the at Baylor and in Washington with the Redskins.
But it was lost.
But it was lost. It was lost. And I think when you find those guys who just, you put them around the right people, and I'm not trying to say Robert Griffin III is a leader, but he needed to basically find himself, because as you said, it was lost. I think he as a person was lost. He as a professional was lost. And I think the gifts that God gave him and what made him the Heisman Trophy winner were subdued and were lost. And a lot of that has to do with confidence.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at, you know, Hugh Jackson walk around with the confidence that he has and the knowledge that he has, and to know that Robert Griffin III is rubbing elbows with him on a day-in, day-out basis because he's the play caller, so he's the voice in my helmet every single day we go out there. And I would think even more so than, and not to say, you know, of course Hugh Jackson trumps Pep Hamilton, but it's like Robert Griffin III doesn't want to meet the standards of Pep Hamilton. I need to meet the standards of the head coach because he's the play caller, he's the quarterback guru, and he's the guy that runs this team.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, and I think that's very, you know, you're laying it out on point, but because to me, as I think about it as well, Matt put a percentage out of it at 40%. And I know a lot of you think, well, you know, coaching Reggae at this level, it's a baloney.
Right.
Baloney. You're not going to ever sell me on that. I'm sorry, because to me, the best coaches, it's not just about – I can make a case that this time and how you develop players and bring players forward – I'll make a case that it's more important than if maybe you're just average on game day.
Right. And think about it like this. If Bill Belichick were sitting here with us right now, I guarantee you he could jot down a list of 10 to 15 things that he is challenged with each and every season, but yet outside, you look at the Patriots as this organization with that you got Tom Brady and you're good to go, and you got Bill Belichick, you're good to go. And they've won 4 Super Bowls, they've been to what, 7?
Yep.
And they're this dynasty that wins double digit games every year. But every single year, Bill Belichick, probably the best coach, one of the best coaches ever in NFL history, has a laundry list.
Yeah.
Of challenges that he has to overcome. It's grooming young talent. It's finding, you know, this guy or a new coach, or how do I challenge the defensive backs? Because everything is changing, so nothing can ever stay the same. And I think that's where, you know, Hugh Jackson gets it, having been other places. And I think falling from grace after Oakland has helped Hugh Jackson make him savor this opportunity in Cleveland that much more.
Yeah, it's enormously impactful. What he's already established, and look, to me, it can do nothing but continue to grow and fortify itself for the Cleveland Browns. All right, first time out. Hopefully you got the buffet line all laid out for you. We got things we can marinate on. So those are our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics. You're welcome, and we want you to join in. 216-578-0850 on Twitter, at Michael Reggae, at Browns_daily, at ESPN Cleveland. You can do it all kinds of ways. It's a big week for the Cleveland Browns, folks. That's why you're here, and Matt and I are going to get you started off on this Football Monday by laying it all out and hopefully giving you some of the insights that you'll need as the Browns go to work with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Of course, coming off that Week 2 preseason loss that Matt and Nathan Segura went over for you Friday to the Atlanta Falcons here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Hang around. Have fun with this. A lot of excitement from here. We're live out of the Dog Bowl. Reggae for Segura. Wilhelm's here. We continue after you give us this timeout right here on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Segura today. Matt Wilhelms here, as always, lending his NFL and overall football expertise to Cleveland Browns Daily. That's why you lock in from 1 to 3 every Monday through Friday right here on ESPN Cleveland. Mike Dreamer, our producer today. Mike, we appreciate you as we take you up till 3 o'clock this afternoon. All right, so I went through our menu today, our OBM, Ohio Business Machine, Hot Topics of the Day. So jump on board, 216-578-0850, on Twitter, at Browns_daily, at Michael Reggae, at ESPN Cleveland. Let's get at it. Our quarterback leading us out of the huddle today. He's called the first play. I don't know if it was scripted or not, but we head to Middleburg Heights, and here's Dave. David, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Good, sir.
Looking forward to our offense this year. I don't know how good our defense is going to be, but come Thursday night, I'd love to see him throw 4 and 5 wide just to see if that can be handled defensively. If they can't stop our 4 and 5 wide, that's going to help us out a whole heck of a lot going down the pike here, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, It's something that you might not show tomorrow and Wednesday against the Buccaneers, and then all of a sudden you come out in a formation that they did see, and you kind of motion a guy out or you explode to five wide and see how they handle it. And I think it's also good to put that on tape so that teams, specifically the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'll say the Baltimore Ravens, you know, our first two opponents, see that you're capable of doing that as well. And now that we have the personnel that we may have, it gets really scary for an opposing team.
Absolutely. And then naturally, you know, that is going to turn, hopefully open up the running game even more, because they're going to have to be prepared to cover receivers. And if they can catch, they will actually be a threat.
Yeah, well, you know, Dave, you raise a good point, because, and we appreciate the call, always stay locked in with us on Browns Daily. You know, Matt, that running game, and I really wanted to hone in on that the other night. And again, while it certainly didn't match the 250 that the Atlanta Falcons put up the other night, I thought the Browns, you know, they ran for over 100, I think a buck five, and they averaged 5 yards a carry. And I know a lot of it, Terrell Winston, I thought, I like the way this young man, you know, not to be too technical, but I like the boom that he delivers.
You have to like
his
it.
Pads,
yeah.
Tackle to tackle, don't you?
I do. I like it. And I think there's a place for that. But he is another guy, as you named Mingo and Gilbert, simply probably because they're former first-round picks. But Watson is a kid that, coming off of what we liked in that Atlanta Falcons game, that if he goes down and maintains that physicality and running the football, is going to get a look, because he's Hugh Jackson's guy coming here from Cincinnati off their practice squad and was a priority signing for Hugh Jackson, without a lot of bang behind it. But we know that here in Cleveland. But Raheem Mostert is the guy. Do we carry three? Do we carry four? And could Mostert maybe be considered like a specialist, because he's going to be our main kickoff returner and a backup in the running back room?
Exactly.
Where Watson, and I think both of those guys, if need be, I think Watson could probably go back on your practice squad, mm-hmm. you know, and you take that shot of, you know, another team claiming him.
Well, right now, you know, so I think we can safely say, you know, when you look at numbers there, you're looking at, of course, you know, Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson. And after that, Matt, I mean, wouldn't you say, again, now there are different specialties that these other running back candidates carry, and it's good that they are not like characteristics of the type of runners they are. But how much of it, too, is going to boil down to, you're really going to take a hard look at pass pro.
Yes.
And can you catch the football a little bit out in the backfield?
Yeah. Right?
Those two things, in addition to, yeah, you could tell them, hey, man, I gained five yards of carry, you know, 7 carries for 35 yards, and that's fine. That's great.
Sure.
Good. But how are you in pass pro?
Right.
How well do you, when you got to stay in, how well can you chip? How well can you take on a D-end or outside linebacker? And when you throw you the football out of the backfield, son, you better catch it.
Yeah, and all that really matters. And I think even furthermore, the way, now that I'm essentially not a part of a team, the way I look at constructing a roster, you have to think worst case scenario. And you look at it, and I'm not jumping to another position, but early in training camp, I was, okay, what happens after Barnage? Because then you got Telfer and Hamlet and DeValve and Bibbs. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of football been played in the NFL by those guys,
no.
Okay, beyond Barnage. So what happens if you don't get Barnage? And I think the same can be said that what happens if you lose Isaiah Crowell for a week or multiple weeks in a row?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe, even though I'm sure Hugh Jackson and Duke Johnson would tell me otherwise, that I want to give the football to Duke Johnson on the ground 20 times and 5 times through the air.
He's not built for that.
He's not built, at least not yet.
Right, right.
Okay, so who's going to be the other back, like you said, that is accountable in pass pro, can get out and understand what he's doing, you know, in the pass game and so on and so forth, and not skip a beat? Is that going to be Raheem Mostert, or is it going to be a guy like Watson, who you know has been in a developmental state of mind between the Bengals and here, grooming him essentially for that third role? But Raheem Mostert, who's giving us a little burst on special teams, and when given the football in games on the ground, giving us a burst on the ground as well, he's now turned that into a competition.
Well, he does. He's got multidimensional, if you will. He's got diverse skills that he can do those things. And, you know, as we took it back to both Justin Gilbert and Barkevious Mingo, I mean, Matt, to me, because they cannot lock up as top 10 picks starting spots. And again, with, you know, I got to throw this in, Matt, with an organization, you know, we're not talking about a perennial playoff team here
right.
that they can't crack, right?
Yeah.
And that makes a difference too. So my point is they better be as deluxe as they can be on special teams. Mingo, that's probably right now, that's probably a strength. He has been. But, you know, Matt, you played the position. So to me, I look at it this way. You know, people say, Barkevious played well the other night. Yeah, okay, he made some tackles. You know, he showed up. He got to the football, ran to the football. But, Matt, I'm sorry. I have to mitigate that with he's playing against threes and fours, didn't get on the field until the end of the third quarter. He is running with the threes and fours right now. Matt
right.
is a sixth overall pick. I'm sorry, to me, that addition does not add up to something good.
You're correct, and I think even furthermore, and you kind of, you know, touched about it briefly, that, you know, both of these guys can't crack the starting lineup of a team that hasn't been all that great. And then you look at their career and who they are, you know, outside looking in, which I like to do from time to time, and you go, if they were not Browns after what they've put on film thus far, I think both would get signed somewhere. They'd probably have the same fight making a roster somewhere else as well, because what we see on a day-in, day-out basis isn't good enough to make it a priority for us to get them on the field. And I thought, you know, Mingo and even Gilbert, when he got that opportunity, you know, last year and even back in 14 when he was drafted,
right.
he got that opportunity because we took him eighth overall in the 2014 draft. And that's why we were like, we got to get him on the field. And once we realized he couldn't play, we got to get him off the field because he ain't got it.
Yeah.
And I think from a Mingo standpoint, he's battled being too long and too lean and not productive and as an outside linebacker. You know, now we've moved him an inside linebacker. And as you said, you pointed out, he's making plays against guys that aren't going to make rosters. That's not hard.
And
you look how bad. Look at our second half, the last two football games.
Exactly.
It's not been pretty.
No, it hasn't. And look, not trying to be real harsh here, but this is reality, guys. And again, Barkevious Mingo is a damn good kid. He really is. Had a lot of chances to talk to him, interview him the last few years. You want him to be successful and succeed. But now this is the third different coaching staff and regime he's getting an opportunity with, right? Although Ray Horton was his D coordinator in here. But, Matt, to me, it all stems back from, look, you are asking sixth overall pick of the draft. Yeah, you were asking. I've studied a lot, Les Miles in his system. But, Matt, the bottom line is you were asking a 235-pound rush defensive end with his hand in the ground on his get-off on quarterbacks to now do that in the National Football League at 235 against O tackles? No, I'm sorry. And so to me, again, it goes back to the logic. Well, but our intent was to stand him up as a, you know, as an outside backer in a 3-4. Well, what did you have to go on by how he played and what he was asked to do in college that made you believe he could do that?
And that's where you get the, you know, the scouts involved, because I think the scouts and their reports, you know, while the general manager and the head coach, you know, are the stars
yeah.
on draft day,
yeah.
the scouts behind the scenes had to say, based on what they saw at LSU on the practice field and what they saw of him in the games, that they dove in and they dug out every bit of information about Barkevious Mingo. They thought he was capable of making that switch.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
now that we haven't seen it happen, he's too light in the pan to survive with his hand on the ground in a 3-4 defense. I mean, you figure we're doing it with Armani Bryant. We're doing it with Kruger, who's 270
John
pounds.
Hughes is
Emmanuel Ogba was going to do it. He's 280.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He's not forceful enough at outside linebacker, not productive enough out of that 2-point stance to the point where he's almost in his third position now
right.
since his senior year in college, now playing, you know, middle linebacker in a 3-4 defense.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, again, we lay it all out and, you know, this is truth and reality. And as Matt will tell you, as his career went on, this is the National Football League, guys and gals. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a top 10 pick. Yeah, you get those 4 years on that rookie deal. But if you're a young man like Mingo and Gilbert, Mingo going into year 4 looking to get extended, The Browns are certainly aren't jumping at doing that. And Justin Gilbert trying to earn a role, and that plays into now Jamar Taylor. As Hugh Jackson said yesterday, now a starter on the corner for this football team. That's what Matt and I will get into next. We'll continue on with our OBN hop topics of the day. I'll run them down again for you as we go through the show. We got you till 3 o'clock this afternoon. Give us a timeout. Then we're back on the other side. We're going to hear from Hugh Jackson, the head coach of the Browns, as the Browns worked yesterday before they're on the way winging down to Tampa, Florida today for a week with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Reg Eifer Zagura, Matt Wilhelms here. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, and we're delighted you're a part of it right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, hope you're feeling this 3E Monday. I bet your coach said this to you, Wilhelm. You know, the 3 E's. How many coaches you had? I've had a lot of them said, Reg, I need energy. I need enthusiasm. I need excitement. And if you can't play that way, man, then get the hell off my field. So we've all heard that and many, many times, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Yeah. So that's what we've got going on for you, 3E Monday. Energy, enthusiasm, excitement. The Browns have that as they're heading to Tampa, Florida this week. Matt, remember earlier in the show as we get back here in the 1 o'clock hour, we asked, you guys are Hugh Jackson. And give us your thoughts about the topics we threw out today. Our man Shoreman Steve from over in Avon Lake tweets at both of us and says, all right, if I'm Hugh Jackson, guys, and all the injured receivers are healthy, along with RG3 needing the reps, if I'm Hugh Jackson, I'm playing all of them three quarters because they need it on Friday against Tampa Bay. You like that?
I don't know about full three quarters. I think the game dictates that. But the one thing that I've always liked to see is I think a half is absolutely guaranteed for a majority of those guys.
Yep.
If the trainers believe that Joe Hayden, Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman can handle it coming back off of a hiatus of just being in practice and not so much in game shape. But the one thing that I love is because we truly do game plan for this football game. You know, there is some, not the time and attention that goes into a regular season
somewhat
football game, but you somewhat
okay,
prepare based on what you've seen out of Tampa Bay to go out and win this football game. And because I think Hugh Jackson wants to understand
right
some of these guys and these coaches who he's not coached with before, how they prepare when it really matters. So you want to get their reports, how applicable is what they see to what we actually construct in a game plan. And I want to, and what I love is you go out and play a half of football with your starters, and then going in at halftime. And this is where I truly believe, and this goes back to my time at Ohio State when Kent or BG or Akron's playing you tough in the first half.
Maxion now, Maxion, be kind.
I know, I'm being
be kind of Maxion.
When they're playing you tough in the first half, because they're pulling some tricks out, you're getting their all-out effort to win that football game.
Bringing
against,
out gadgets.
Against your Buckeyes. Correct.
Yeah.
But then you go in at halftime, and your coaches go, this is what they're doing. This is what we're going to do. Let's go out and do it. Mm-hmm. And then you end up mashing them out the way, 42, 17, 50 to 21, whatever it was. But you run off like four consecutive touchdowns. It's the coaches go in at halftime, and they basically communicate with what they see. The players are able to tell them what's good, the coaches, what's going on. And then the offensive defense coordinator go, instead of just running A and B, we're going to go A, B. Now we're going to show them C.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do. And while you're going to have, D, E, and F still in your hip pocket for when it actually matters, but then these guys can come down, communicate that at a halftime of a game instead of unstrapping their shoulder pads, getting ready to go out and watch their buddies go out and do it, but then come back out and do it and apply that.
Yeah.
And maybe play a series or two in the third quarter, and then if Hugh is in approval of what he sees of these starters, he'll trickle guys out, and then mass substitutions will then kind of
right
take part.
Well, Shoreman Steve, we appreciate the tweet. So there's the key, as Matt wrapped that up there, is, Hugh Jackson will, when he's satisfied with maybe consecutive series that have gone well, maybe in the third quarter, that's probably going to be his gauge and his barometer. Also got a tweet from @G_IGeorge. He tweets at the show. He says, I want to be Hugh Jackson. So he's on the other side of the ball, Matt. And at Behind Enemy Lines says, with Dez Bryant gone for the year, I got to see someone on that Browns D-line get stout, step up a little bit. He hashtags it, pushed around and bullied. They have been that. There's no question about it. You know, how much of that do you believe? We talked about this about 10 days ago. Are we getting into the Ray Horton philosophy area with this now? And or maybe are they Jackson, Horton, and the defensive coaches still feeling out what the best way for that front seven to approach the scheme is?
Yeah, I think they are. And if I really had to say, if I'm Hugh Jackson and today is game day, who am I starting, you know, in tonight's game, let's say with, you know, Monday Night Football? It would, the only people that I say would that are starting, Joe Hayden, Tremont Williams at corner, Poyer and Ibrahim Campbell at safety, Jamar Taylor, who's going to start at our nickelback, and then Kirksey and Davis as my inside linebackers. Outside of that,
that's it.
That's all I know right now.
Well, John
and
Hughes,
probably
Johnny
maybe Danny,
will play this
Danny
week.
Shelton will probably start at the nose.
He will, and then as we know, Danny's got to has a lot that he needs to put out there that shows he's ascending in the direction that we all want him to,
right?
Because it's been kind of
too much dancing,
rather vanilla. Yeah, too much of that, you know, too much just hanging on. Good way to put it.
Yeah,
good way to put it. So we'll see where that goes. I'll tell you what we're going to do before we hear from you, Jackson. Let's so we stay clean for Mike Dreamer back at ESPN Cleveland, our fine producer. Let's take this time out. Keep the tweets coming at Browns_daily, at Michael Regei, and at ESPN Cleveland. Keep them coming. We'll check again. When we get back on the other side, as we said on this energized Monday with the Browns heading to Tampa for a week with the Buccaneers, we'll hear from the head football coach, Hugh Jackson, his last gathering with the media last evening before the Browns departed today. Stay with us. Got you till 3 o'clock. A lot more going on. We've got hot topics that are blazing a fire that we need your contributions from. And that's with us, Regei for Zagura, Wilhelm on Cleveland Browns Daily right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That is first hour flying by. Matt Wilhelm's here. I'm Michael Regei in for Nathan Zagura, who's with the Browns heading down to Tampa. Big week, as we said. We started out the show today about 50 minutes ago letting you know, just an overview, what a huge week this is for and the Browns, of course, as an organization, and the steps that Hugh Jackson is trying to make here in week three. Everyone refers to this as the dress rehearsal week, and we've made allusions to that, and we will even more as we go on. 216-578-0850. We're making you Hugh Jackson this week as you take your football team to Tampa. What are the main points, or what are the definitive things that you not only are looking for but have to find out about your squad? On Twitter, we like the way you're doing that with us, at Browns_daily, at Michael Regei, at ESPN Cleveland. Here's Raj in the big league city of Cleveland. Raj, how are you, man? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good, all man. Good, man. Good to hear from you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. My main thing I want to see more in a definitive kind of way is I want to see the pass rush, of course, and I want to see these linebackers cover these tight ends and running backs out the backfield. Because I noticed Green Bay was getting a lot of third downs to the running backs on the flare outs and the tight ends. It was like the same thing that was happening with under Jim O'Neill's defense. So, and then that leads me to my point about Danny Shelton. I saw him dancing a lot with off the center.
With and, Alex Mack? Yeah. Yeah, it was Alex Mack for the first quarter and a half.
Right, right. Yeah. And also the Green Bay game as well. So yeah. I'm wondering if this is just Ray Horton's philosophy or just he's still in the mindset that Jim O'Neill had him under.
You know, I think it's a little bit of both, and we thank you very much for the call.
Appreciate
and we'll hear
it, Raj.
From Hugh Jackson here shortly, but I do want to answer your question. I just think it's not so much about one scheme or another scheme. I think it's Danny Shelton buying into this scheme and what he's being asked to do and truly understanding his role, because the role of a Pro Bowl nose tackle in a 3-4 defense is it's not about me, it's about everybody else. And what does that mean? That means DeMario Davis and Christian Kirksey, them making the play is as if I'm making the play.
They've got to be your tackling leaders on the squad.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I've said that before. So Danny Shelton taking on two guys and being physical and grabbing them and latching onto them, you know, and it ain't going to be pretty all the time, but allowing those linebackers to scrape free is what makes this defense go. Nope. So it's once he embraces that, and it's not about him. I don't care if I look at the stat sheet on every Monday when I come into CBD and Danny Shelton has 2 assists, 1 tackle. Don't care. But I want to see Kirksey and Davis, 13 tackles, 11 tackles, 9 tackles, 3 assists. I want them stat stuffing because that's what they should do in this defense.
And you know what stat, Matt, I want to see too? All I want to see is how many reps, how many opponent snaps, and how many plays, Danny Shelton, were you on the football field? Because if you can at least be a 2-down guy on every series, if not 3, because, you know, you have you can do what Halote Nata does.
Right.
Right? And some of the better noses that we've seen around Vince Woolfolk in his heyday with New England. If you see those guys stayed on the field in certain instances for 3 downs, that's the big stat I want to see, Matt, because that tells me then that both Hugh Jackson and Ray Horton are very, very pleased
yes.
with how you're handling your
Correct.
Business, right?
Yes.
There's the stat you want to look for. Speaking of Hugh Jackson, I promised it for 2 segments. Let's get to it with the head coach of your Cleveland Browns. Hugh Jackson's in town, baby. My favorite Hugh Jackson expression. From back during the offseason, and he's trying to put that into great application now with his football team. Let's give a listen to Hugh Jackson. Keep note of the Jamar Taylor conversation that was made last night when Hugh was asked about Jamar Taylor and how he will fit with this Browns secondary. Here's Jackson from after the Browns' last workout here in Berea last night.
It looked like Duke Johnson left the field. Any update on his?
Yeah, I think we're just going to check him. He just got tagged one time. I think he'd be all right.
Looks like you're getting a lot of guys back. And just comment on whether you expect them all to play, be ready to play.
That's my plan. You know, again, I'll check with our medical staff, but hopefully, you know, the fact that they're out here the first day and then pads with everybody else, I think there's a good chance those guys will have opportunity to play. So it's good to have them back and look forward to the rest of the week and see what they can do.
What do you like about practicing against another team, and is it something you plan to do every year?
Yeah, I would like to, if we can find a willing partner. I think anytime you can go against another team, another organization, you get a chance to evaluate your team in a different light. We see our guys against our guys all the time, and I think to evaluate them against somebody else is always fun, different, you know, and it's a true evaluation more so than going against the same guys all the time.
Is there almost more value to that than maybe sometimes a game?
Well, yeah, you get to do more things. You get to really see the things you need to see, you know, as a staff, because we're kind of working together. There's things they need to see. There's things we need to see. So it has its value, but games are still the games. I think there's nothing like a football game because that's what we play. We play games, you know, every week. So I like both, to be honest with you, but I am going to enjoy this experience with Tampa Bay.
What are the just a general outline of the formats on Tuesday and Wednesday?
Tuesday we'll have on pads. Wednesdays we'll bench shells. You know, we're going to go practice. You know, we'll have 9-on-7, team, Pascal, and we'll do some situational football. We'll do a lot of different things, you know, to get our team better and also to get their team better.
And will it be 2 separate fields?
Yeah, we'll have 2 separate fields, but I think we'll be together for a lot of it, and then there's times we'll split up doing certain things.
Tackling under the fence?
I'm sorry?
We
won't take anybody to the ground. You know, we'll try to, again, we're going to play a game, so we'll try to keep everybody up. You know, the game's on Friday. This is more or less practice against each other and take care of each other.
On the defense, how unsettled is it relative to the fact that the first unit gave up some yards, the second and third units a bunch of yards?
How unsettled is it in terms of being just still a major project, piecing everything together, not too far from the season now?
No, I think it's just work. You know, again, I think what's important is that we get better. You know, and I think everybody has a job to do. And what I said to our team this morning, everybody, offense, defense, and special teams, we all got to do our job better. And I think that's what's most important, that we understand the sense of urgency everywhere on our football team to get better and get better as fast as we can.
You mentioned that you'd like that. Do you think that John might play this week and that quarterback back in the big league for him? You're getting a little sense out here in some of the drills about, you know, what this receiving core can look like. Are you really looking forward to seeing what they do against the box and in this game?
Oh, no, I am. I'm looking forward to, one, having them there, you know, potentially having them all for a game. And have them have a go out there and play with our offensive football team. It'd be fun to watch all those guys and see the different pieces. But, again, we got to get them there. And I just want to make sure, again, I'm going to be cautious. Again, I'm going to talk to our medical staff. They were out here today, which was good. We'll see where they are this evening. And hopefully they'll be back out here tomorrow so we can get better again before we take off. And we'll have them every day. And I think that's the goal. I think when we started this process with Josh and with Corey, since his hamstring, our whole goal is to make sure those guys are here for consecutive days so they can practice and be with the quarterbacks, and the quarterbacks can get a feel for them, and they get a feel for the quarterbacks and a feel for their teammates. It is important for them to be out there. But, again, you know, we'll know more as we go through the week.
How much of the new facilities and therapeutic pools, how much of a difference has that made? Because we've seen in years past, if a player gets one of those soft tissue injuries, they're gone for three, four, even longer as far as weeks go.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's been it's really helped. And, again, I give a lot of that credit to Dee and Jimmy for making that a reality, you know, and putting back into our players so that we can rehab guys and get them back out here quickly. And then Joe Sheehan designing this thing, you know, he knew exactly what it needed to look like, feel like, in order to get our players back when those things do happen. And, again, he's done a great job. And he's really, you know, helped me and taught me, these guys with these soft tissue injuries, you don't want to bring them back too soon because you can lose them for more time afterwards if they all of a sudden pull something.
When you talk about, you emphasize to R.G. Robert about sliding and taking care of himself, outside of just sitting down and talking to him, is there anything you did to demonstrate?
No, I don't need to do that. I mean, you want to play quarterback in our system for us, there's certain things we ask the quarterback to do. Those are two of them. You got to do it. You got to protect the ball. You got to take care of yourself because you need to be out there with your teammates. And so he gets it. I mean, I think he understands it, but it's still in progress. It's something we got to keep working at, you know.
Yeah,
huge. Yeah, that was very important. It's good to see him do that. I mean, that's what he needs to do. That's what we're asking him to do as our quarterback.
You talked about how it's a huge week for both Joe Hayden and for Corey Coleman. Obviously, it's a dress rehearsal game.
Mm-hmm.
How important do you think it really is for those guys to just get out there and get good work?
Yeah, I think you said it. That's what's important. They need to be out there with their teammates, you know, good practice against somebody different than the guys they practice against a lot. You know, and then to have opportunity to play in a game, too. You know, that's the goal for all those guys. You know, I want to see them play in a game against a different opponent and come out there and prepare and get ready for a game because a couple of weeks from now, it's real, you know. And so they need to have that experience heading into our first game.
Kind of perfect timing to have this week with Tampa then, right?
Yes, absolutely. It is. I mean, it's been great. I mean, a lot of teams probably wouldn't, you know, do it on the third week. But I thought it'd be best for us, and I couldn't foresee the physical injuries that we were going to have or anything. So it wasn't any magic solution. It just worked out this way. But I think it's working out in our favor because I think it's important for us and for what we have coming up in the near future.
How long ago did you cut or schedule this?
We did this a while back, way before
draft.
The summer.
Before
yeah.
The draft?
No, I think after the draft is when we really talked about it. But, again, they were in Jacksonville last week practicing. And obviously they like doing this because I think, again, it gives them a chance to evaluate their team too. And I'm just thrilled that they've invited us there so that we can do this together.
How do you figure out how to use Josh in practice with the ones as far as getting them ready for week five but not taking a bunch of reps from guys who play the first 4 weeks?
Well, I think what's important is I don't really know him yet as a football player. I'm learning, and I need to see what he's able to do. And he's talented, obviously. You know, he has a lot of talent. So the more I can see him and feel him before, because he will be away and not being able to do that, the more I can understand when he gets back and he can hit the ground running, you know, the right way. So it's important for him to be out there with those guys. It's important for him to be with the ones, because I think he's going to be one of our better players. So we got to put him out there and see what he's capable of doing.
What about Jamar Taylor getting a little bit of work on with the first team?
Yeah, yeah, it means he's one of our starting corners. That's what it means.
How did he earn that, and what did you see in him that led you to that?
Plays the game the way we want him to play it. You know, he made some plays the other night on the ball. I mean, I expect our corners to get their hands on balls, you know, and defense the other team's receivers. So, again, we're going to keep, you know, mixing and matching until we get this right. That's just how I am. That's how our defensive staff is. That's how our offensive staff is. You know, our job is to put the best players out there and give them a chance to play and put people in position to be successful. So that's what we're going to do.
Obviously, it didn't work out for him in Miami. Is he just making the most of a fresh start?
Yeah. Again, I can't speak to what happened there. I just think here he's been outstanding. I mean, he's done everything we've asked him to do, and he's done it the right way, and he's a good football player.
And Tremont's played enough nickel where he's comfortable side inside?
Oh, and there's no question. He's done it, like you said. I mean, he's done it here and done a good job of that. So Tremont is fine, and will do a good job for us too.
Is this an amazing opportunity for Ben Jamar for him to go against the box and for him to really show in this game the rest of his job?
Absolutely. There's no question. I mean, I think anybody we put out there first, they got a chance to go claim what's theirs and what they want, you know, and that's all people, I think everybody wants, just an opportunity, you know, to show that they belong or that they should be, you know, one of the 53 and one of the guys that are one of the starters. So he's going to get that opportunity, and he's got to make the most of it.
There's a lot of guys that are going to get that opportunity, as you heard Hugh Jackson explain. And, you know, as Matt and I have been talking about, and we continue to do just that here in our second hour of Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR in Cleveland, Ohio, as we hit the top of the hour. This week will allow some young men to possibly not only cement themselves, but maybe to the point that they can grab positions of real prominence on this football team. We'll get into that in the second hour. As we get back with you, keep the tweets coming. Outstanding job from all of you on Twitter. We'll start the second hour of the show with one of those, I think, terrific tweets. And then when Matt and I will get back, we'll continue on our Ohio Business Machine, our OBM, hot topics of the day, of which there are many. I'll lay them all out again for you and allow you to be a big, big part of that. Sound good? That's the way we're rolling here on CBD. Reg Eye in for Zagura. Matt Wilhelm's here. Don't go away. We're at halftime of this Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. More to come right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.